January 28th order, it's 4:15 PM. Current in the room are councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Carter, Street, Hollins, Cartier, Durham, Woods, Diller. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chairing the meeting, and I'd like Councilman to thank Councilman Woods and Legislative Aide Chrissy Roberts for assisting me today.
No problem, sir.
What's your pleasure on the minutes of January 20th, 2020?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. First on the agenda, resolution number 20-031, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for DeMarva Power for the upgrade of two electrical feeders at the Churchman's Road Complex in the amount of $226,738. And the bottom line is it's for the full service and the agreement. They're not going to do the service until they get a signed agreement back. That is to upgrade the electrical. Any questions on the resolution? Hearing none. Next, we have resolution number 20-032, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Stryker Sales Corp for the annual preventive maintenance and service for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $84,674. And this is for the LifePak 15 monitor and defibrillators, the pacemaker, for their maintenance and upkeep. Any questions on resolution 20-032? Hearing none, we'll go to 20-001. Amend the FY 2020 approved operating budget, realign budgetary funding of $182,181 within the Department of Administration to fund software licensing. And that's clear, that is for licensing the software. Any questions from any members of council? And even the public? Hearing none. Next on the agenda is ordinance number 20-005. Amend the grants budget for FY 2020, appropriate state funds of $121,350 from the state of Delaware Office of Management and Budget to the Census 2020 Outreach Grant, which is administered by the Office of the County Executive. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to yield to Jessica to give us an overview of this legislation, and we've just passed around a piece that she provided for council members to give some detail about progress involved in this.
Good morning, council, members of council. I've distributed a four-page action plan for your review and your input. I also want to talk a little bit about how we got here. In 2017, the state put together a state health commission that began meeting in 2018. I am representing the county, a county executive on that committee. That committee is comprised of several municipalities and several stakeholders throughout the state, and we meet monthly in Dover, and that committee is headed by Lieutenant Bethany Harlong. Within the time of working, in March of 2019, Newcastle County launched our NCC Commit to be Counted campaign, where we started beginning asking Newcastle County residents to commit to be counted. At that point, it was a very elementary attempt of getting folks engaged in the program and the opportunity of understanding what is census, while we got an understanding of what that meant to us in our county and what those expectations were from the State Count Commission. We quickly realized after doing research and engaging with our local states around us that we needed funding to be able to pull this off. At this point, Delaware is losing about $14 million annually based on previous undercounts, and we know that $14 million over the course of the next 10 years will increase dramatically, making all of our jobs a lot more harder as we're working to create better communities for the residents of Newcastle County and the overall state. So through a lot of lobbying and support, we were allocated $684,000 to a committee as whole for the state, which is very low underneath this, the average threshold for the entire country, but it's a start. It's the first time it's happened. We're very happy about that allocation. We all presented appropriate proposals to the county commission requesting monies. Our original request was $325,000, which would reflect close to the average formula for per resident capita. It was kicked back. We all got kicked back. We resubmitted again, and we resubmitted at $200,000. And that $200,000 plan was a plan that we were hoping to begin implementing in the beginning of July. That would take us through June of this year. Unfortunately, in the space that we work in, we didn't receive that money in time. We missed a lot of time of community education, lots of community outreach over the summer. So we were officially awarded $121,350 on October 17th. At that point, we began our own internal legislative process and really began to hone in on our plan. So we took a year's plan and condensed it at this point to be a five-month plan. And the action plan that you're looking at is what resembles what we believe would be a really great effort on behalf of the county to be able to encourage and invigorate our communities and our community stakeholders to help spread the word, motivate their stakeholders and their constituents to engage and respond to the census. The number one factor this year for census is we're applying online first. So your first point of contact is not gonna be the person who comes to your door or the official form that we're accustomed to receiving in the mail. It's actually gonna be a postcard. And if you all got your sewer bills, you'll notice there's an insert in the sewer bill that talks about what you should expect and when you should expect the census invitation to come in the mail. And that will happen in March. So our charge is really to encourage and engage as many community stakeholders, nonprofits, civic groups, churches, et cetera, to engage in our message and in our campaign. Part of the work that we'll be doing is engaging what the state has identified as ambassadors. We're calling them part of our Newcastle County Census team. And that team will allow us to do the grunt work that's required to get this canvassing, campaign work done in the true grassroots communities. Because the reality is the hearts count communities are our most low-income communities and our most vulnerable communities. And those are the hardest communities to reach. So our campaign, while you'll see social media advertisements, you'll see posters, you'll see some PSAs, but when we say grassroots, we mean grassroots down to the Chinese stores, the restaurants where people in low-income communities tend to spend a lot of time in. So what you have in front of you is a four-page plan. I don't want to take up the time to go through the plan, but I would like to just point out a few highlights that I think are very important, and I think they're kind of cool aspects of our plan. The first part of our plan being our engagement with Byard School. Byard School and the conglomerate of Byard School, Bancroft, and Stubbs is a complete undercounted, underrepresented community. So we decided to put together and partner with Byard to put together a children's illustrated activity book that talks about all things census and all things Newcastle County. And the intent is that these kids go home and share some of this with their parents and encourage their parents to participate because of an activity page for them to go home and talk to their parents about census and the importance of census. And those distribution channels for that book are all of our middle schools and elementary schools in hard to count communities. And we're partnering with Christiana Care and Westside Health to look at their service centers in low income communities to provide their distribution channel as well. We're also partnering with OE Delaware, who's a Hispanic newspaper. They have committed to distributing 3,000 copies to communities, so it also be translated into Spanish as well. I've met with these students. I can tell you that they are the most amazing group of kids. Many of them recognize very quickly that they'll be 20 years old when the next census comes, so they must engage in census. So we're very excited about their excitement and their participation in this project, and they're leading it. So I am going to their meetings, and they are leading these conversations.
Chair, I want to recognize the presence of Hartley Nagel. Okay, continue.
Thank you. The other part of this project that's very critical is our engagement with our nonprofit communities. Our nonprofit community, as we all know, services thousands and thousands of constituents. The message is great when it comes from the government, but the message becomes much more personable when it comes from an entity that is a support mechanism to a family. So we're providing information to nonprofits and engaging with many nonprofits throughout the county to engage with their constituents. And in your packet, you'll see some opportunities and demonstrations as to what that engagement can possibly look like and what we're asking of those nonprofit organizations. We're looking at a collaborative opportunity here, so we're recommending opportunities of engagement, but this nonprofit all-call will allow us to really brainstorm on exactly what they can do based on their own individual capacity. Because what we don't want to do is impose on capacity. We want to add value to capacity, particularly as it relates to this census work that's so very important to not only us, but the communities that we're serving. Are there any questions?
Any questions, any members of the council? If none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair, I want to recognize the presence of Councilman Bell. Next on the agenda, ordinance number, Councilman Hollins.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I just want to thank Jessica and the county executive and the county board, the work they're doing, making certain that everyone is counting, as the handout will indicate, that we're missing out on quite a bit of dollars here in Delaware and in Newcastle County in particular. But beyond that, it just seems to me that day by day, the notion of liberty and justice for all is eroding in this country. And I'm just pleased that there's an effort here to make certain that we try to uphold that particular tenet. But not the board council, but if you go back just to 2013, when the United States Supreme Court upheld a ruling that would allow the states to disengage from the Voting Rights Act. And since that time, a number of jurisdictions throughout this country, dozens since that ruling by the Supreme Court, have elected to put impediments in front of the voting rights and denying a lot of folk, particularly communities of color and immigrants, to have the right to vote in their jurisdictions. And even just yesterday, the Supreme Court upheld another opinion from the Trump administration, which denies green card access to immigrants if they are using social services in this country. And one of the things that you see on this list here is federal Medicaid, CHIP, and the folk who need these services the most usually are communities of color and immigrants. So now you have a situation where the immigrants that live in Newcastle County or wherever are very unlikely to apply for these needed services, because if they do, according to the Supreme Court ruling from yesterday, it could impact their ability to receive a green card. So the work that the people are doing here is very, very critical at this point in time in this nation. But every time there's an activity to move these communities forward, there's even more activity to take them back. So the work that you're doing, I applaud it, but the reality is where we are in this country today, people are staying awake night and day to continue to take away the advances that have been made and to allow people to have a decent opportunity to ward liberty and justice for all.
Councilwoman Diller?
Yes, I just have one request and one suggestion. One is, may we have this electronically? I think that would be great to be able to have it electronically. But at the bottom of the page where it says conclusion of work, I would have contact information, phone numbers, email addresses on there, because there are folks who I think really would be interested in particularly the census job fairs. But I think we need some more contact information for them to know what, you know, I mean, it does say when and the times, but it would be helpful to have a person. I think that would be good to know.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, we actually are sending a flyer, so that flyer will be distributed to the states and contacts for the job fairs.
Okay.
That will also be listed on our NCCTV, on our Facebook page, and at all the local libraries. That flyer will be final tomorrow morning.
Okay, but could we have this electronically with that information on the great?
I will add my contact information.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything else? Councilman Carter.
Yeah, I saw Middle Temple and target areas. I don't see any nonprofits.
You actually on my list of calls to support some of the work in Middletown.
Well, I'm happy to do that, and I work with a lot of the nonprofits down there. Get them involved. Iredale Bread might be a really good one for the street area, because they hit the community pretty close. So Ed McHale is an individual you need to talk to.
Yes.
Okay. Just give me a call, and then we'll sort it out.
Thank
you. Councilman Cartier.
Yep. I noticed that Claymont is a historically undercount. Are you going to work with the Claymont Community Center?
Yes.
To contact them?
Yes. They're on our list of contacts. We haven't confirmed them as a partner yet, but they're on our target list.
Thank you.
Any other questions on members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Ordinance number 20-006, to provide for the installation of Granville streetlights in the French Park subdivision located in Pencator 100, and for a light tax based on the cost of streetlights. Councilman Tackett.
For title.
Any questions from council? Nothing. Okay, ordinance number 20-007, to provide for the installation of Granville with ribs streetlights in the Silver Wind Estates subdivision located in Pencator 100, and for a light tax based on the cost of the streetlights. Councilman Bell.
As per title, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions from any members of council? Hearing none. We have no grant requests this week. No. Anything for expense and revenue roundtable? Hearing nothing. Comments from the executive branch?
Hello, everyone. Sue Moore, executive branch. Good to see you all. And just a real quick update. I think that you all received an invitation for the celebration of African American Innovators. It's happening Saturday, the 1st, at 10 a.m. over at the Walnut Street Y. So I just wanted to bring it up to your attention again that there's going to be some amazing performances and speakers and a lot of great things happening there on Saturday morning. So thank you.
Next on the agenda, discussion of council's FY 2021 budget. I distributed some information. First, Newcastle County Council fiscal year 2021 hearing schedule. Following up on the discussion we had during the last budget, no one contacted me to express support for the marathon Saturday. Nor did they contact Councilman Carty, other than Councilwoman Diller, and she did not like the idea of spending the day with me alone, so that went by the wayside. But we've maintained the consolidated schedule as we did previously. We did eliminate the second council discussion, where if that's needed, we can always vote at that one to follow up with it, but we have yet to utilize that, and we always ended up voting to do away with that one. So this is a list, and it will be posted on the website. Is there any questions on it? And it has been submitted to the executive branch through finance and all the departments, as what we usually do. Councilman Carter.
Yeah, how do we want to handle rotation, George? Do you want to
same as we usually did? I'll lead off, and we just keep back and forth, same way we do our committee meetings.
All right.
On the budget itself, it's basic as we have been in the past. We have routine, we have an increased budget, most of which involves the routine step increases, as well as the CPI that's provided to council members, which is an automatic pay increase that council members receive. Other than the pay increases, we have gone to line 3100 with his postage. We've looked at, along with finance, at what our average uses have been, and we have been reducing each year as we went along. So looking at it again, and to help offset our budget, we've reduced our postage by 1200. Our data processing by 1,695. Our photocopies cost by $7,520. Our printing by $2,517. And our information systems by $2,045. And that seemed like a lot of money, but then our budget is a lot smaller than the executive branch as well. So that's a reduction of $13,977 overall. The benefits increase is a 5.36% increase as mandated by the executive branch. So in the salaries and wages, what is in there, and I discussed this with you earlier, Councilman Carty. Yes, Councilman Street.
Can we go back to what you reduced?
Yes, sir.
Why take it out?
Well, we're still above what we were using. We're trying to get more to what we will need, looking at the increase in wages and benefits, but we still have funding elsewhere. But these were ones where we felt there would be no effect to council at all, and it's also very easy to put back in.
Tell me about what put back in.
Yes, very easy. Remember when we visited council, when we visited Executive Gordon's contingency? Very easy to put back in. Only takes seven. Just to give you a little bit of an uptick, because there were some questions about our budget and personnel. We maintain the policy advisor's pay rate in this budget, which was a step 11. The financial advisor had, for whatever reasons, because they tried to maintain it, had been taken down to a step 1. We moved that to a step 5 to make sure we had funding for what we needed to do. And just ever since Holly's leaving, we've had funds remain solvent in our budget for between the deputy clerk position and my council aide position. Both of those are fully funded in the FY21 budget. So that's where we are. In addition, we are, as Nellie spoke to earlier, we're waiting on some on the number, to finish the numbers, the pay that's been proposed, the personnel, that cost could possibly come down depending on how those numbers wash out. But we put in, when we drafted this budget, to make sure there was enough for this council to operate as we had. The office budget / grant accounts are staying at the amount where they were. We continue to have in our budget the funding for the summer youth employment program. We continue to have in our budget the funding for the National Night Out and the holiday parade in Wilmington. Those grants, should council decide to award them. Now, is there any questions on any of that? Yes.
Just going to make sure that we've covered the streaming in here somewhere.
The streaming is not in there directly because we have no idea what the money is.
Okay.
But we've increased the contingency.
Okay.
So that there's funding available. I'm saying by from the city. Based on that last meeting that took place downstairs, I wasn't comfortable with what they were doing. We had no numbers and everything there. And Jim told me that one amount that had been submitted, it then went up, another one went down. So I didn't think it was prudent on us from a negotiating point to put money out there in the budget, mm-hmm, saying, here's what we're willing to spend. Yeah. That was what, okay, Councilman Carty and I believe, but yeah, the money's there. It would just be moved to the appropriate.
Yeah. As soon as we get the contract finalized, we'll get to those
exact
numbers.
Okay. Exactly. Now, here's some dates that are very, very relevant. February 28th is the last day that we can submit changes to the council budget without needing legislation. All right. So we have another meeting before then, you let me know, but this is basic. We didn't make any big changes in the budget. If there's ever going to be a big change, we'll meet earlier than this. Also, I suggest May 5th, 2021, the proposed operating budget changes can be prepared for submission during the budget process up to the night of May 26th. So what I'm saying is, for the operating budget, for the county budget, you can work on those anytime and submit in advance, but then we know we can do floor amendments as well. The capital budget, which as of the last year, the year before, we changed the cycle, that will be the first budget that we will have introduced to us. And the reason is that's the only one that council is on a timeline to submit changes to. So the proposed capital budget changes must be submitted to the executive branch no less than 15 days prior to the May 26 budget vote. So my suggestion is, if you're going to write a date down, leave yourself a little leeway and figure on a May 5th deadline to get them over there, so you got a couple of extra days breathing room. But anything else you can do from the floor or whenever, but the capital has to be submitted in advance. Is there any questions or any comments on that? Any questions or comments on the process? And just for the record, we've maintained this, Councilman Cardia and I have maintained the same process that we have in the past, except the one difference, and John, I think we're in agreement that what we did this time for the first time, because it was going to be a transition, we had the clerk and deputy clerk in, and we actually secured this room, and we did it on screen and went through, which was with Mr. Boyle when he was here, which worked out very well because it was much easier to get input in and look at the numbers that way. And I think that's a way, whether I'm here or not, I think that's a good way for whoever's doing the budget to keep going with it. I think it just, I've found it much more palatable and workable that way. So with that, is there any public comment? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion adjourned. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.